Good morning. Please have a seat. I take this opportunity to welcome us. I'm sounding very this morning. Take this opportunity. I'm feeling a little bit. There we go. I take this opportunity to welcome all to this time of worship this morning. A very warm welcome to you. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're so pleased that you are here with us. If you're visiting, do let us know you've been here. We have a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary. Just jot down your name and let us know you've been here. Join us for a time of refreshment following the service. There's coffee and tea. There's hot apple cider, festive sort of gathering following the service, a chance to have some conversation. during the service, there is an offering taken during the service. We don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if you would like to, we do have guest envelopes in the pews, and if you use those and fill them out, we'd love to send you a letter saying thanks for worshiping with us this morning. We're so pleased to have you here. And if you think Cole Harbour Woodside United Church might be the place where you would like to spend the next part of your spiritual journey, please do talk to us and let us know. We'd love to share with you all of the wonderful ministries that happen here at Cole Harbour Woodside United Church. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I am part of the ministry team here at Cole Harbour Woodside, along with Krista Elizabeth Wynn. And we're so pleased to be able to gather this morning on this second Sunday of Advent, a Sunday where we think about God and God's peace this morning. We seek to live in peace and in right relations with First Nations with whom we are in community. And so as we gather each Sunday, we share in the words of the acknowledgement of place. I'm going to ask you to respond with the bold type, either in your bulletins or on the screen, and that will be the way we'll do things throughout the service. Anything that's in bold, we'll invite the congregation that's here to share in. And so, as we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy.
Regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation.
And this morning, Madison and Carolyn are going to lead our Advent candle lighting this morning as they light our second blue candle of Advent.
Last Sunday, we lit the first candle, the candle of hope. Today, we light the second candle, the candle of peace. We light it knowing that peace is not always easy to find and live.
In some parts of the world, peace is almost completely absent. Yet in this season of Advent, we trust that God is always with us and is always preparing something new.
Even when we find it hard to live in peace, we are promised that in God's neighborhood we will live in peace with each other, our families, and with our own hearts. God is present, gently leading us. As the flame of peace begins to burn,
let the promise of the ages shine in our hearts.
As the great star shone on in Bethlehem,
may our light shine in the world each day.
We begin our Advent journey with peace.
We begin our worship with light.
Thank you, Madison and Carolyn and Brian. Sorry, I didn't mention we were going to for lighting our Advent candles this morning. Let us pray together. Peace-loving God, in this time of preparation and planning, we thank you for the hope and peace you unfailingly offer us. Show us the creative power of peace. Teach us the peace that comes for justice for all in the neighborhood. We will prepare our hearts to be transformed by you as we walk in the light of Christ. May it be so. Amen. And our opening hymn number 18 in Voices United, There's a Voice in the Wilderness Calling. Daniel Wheaton is going to share with us the scripture readings this morning.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Thank you, Daniel. As the children are coming forward, if you have brought food for our food bank stable, just put your hand up, and children, if you see someone with their hands up with a bag of food, go and help them and bring that up to help to fill our stable. You brought excellent. Oh, very good. So each Sunday over the course of Advent, we're if you want to bring food to help fill our stockings. Here we have someone down here is looking. Come with me. There we go. If you would like to, can you handle that? Oh, you're strong. There you go. You've got that. So if you would like to bring some food to help fill our food bank stable, and we're collecting mittens and hats and things like that for people to go in our great big sock over the next couple of Sundays of Advent. So it's not too late. You've got two more Sundays to bring that. And of course, we're always happy to receive food bank offerings any time of the year. Well, how are we this morning? Good? Quiet. We're quiet this morning. I expected a little bit more excitement, a little bit more jitters as we're getting closer to baptism. No. We're going to have a baptism this morning. Isn't that cool? Yeah? You guys are great during baptism. So let's remind ourselves, what is baptism all about? It's where we walk around and we hold a baby, right? We bless the baby and we thank God for bringing him into the world. Excellent. So, and how do we bless the baby? What do we use to bless the baby? Water, right? And we as a community, and why do we do that? Why do we use water? It wets them, yeah. It helps to make us healthy. Water's really important for us, isn't it? Well, we baptize in the church because, as we're going to hear in a little bit, a person by the name of John was baptizing people. Did you hear the story of John the Baptist? Right, he took people down to the Jordan River and he was baptizing them in the river. And so we do the same thing. He was doing that as a sign of blessing and a sign of God's presence in people's lives. And so we do that today in the church. So would you like to come over as we begin to move into the baptism? Okay, come on over this way. And we're going to have space for you all around here as we normally do. Right, and you can sit up here on the steps, and you guys can have a great view of the baptism this morning. Lots of room. Find a place. I'm going to invite Melanie and Martin to come on up and bring Heath with them. Great. All good. All good. All right. And Megan is here. Megan is chair of our unified board, and maybe you guys can share that microphone. I always forget to get Megan a microphone. All right, are we ready? Good. Have a seat. There you go. All right, you're good to go.
Melanie Dunlop and Martin Williams have come today to present their child for baptism, and we rejoice. Baptism is the church's way of celebrating and naming the grace of God living in every one of God's children. It is the way we initiate new members into the life of the universal community of faith, and it marks the entry point into the lifetime pilgrimage of following in the way of Jesus.
Hear these words from stories of our faith. People brought little children to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and say a prayer. The disciples turned them away, but Jesus said, "Let the little children alone. Do not stop them from coming to me, for it is such that these that the reign of God belongs." And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them.
Melanie and Martin, you have brought your child for baptism. What name is your child? By what name is your child to be known?
Heath Lockwood.
Heath Lockwood. Little one born of love, surrounded by love, child of the universe. We now name you Heath Lockwood. Take this name and make it your own. Live in freedom and fullness as you travel your journey of life. Melanie and Martin, what do you ask of God's church at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church for Heath?
We ask that he be baptized into the family of God's love.
And we are happy to say yes to that request.
God is the heart of life, and we are the heartbeat. May our hearts be filled with thanks, praise, and songs of joy. We rejoice in the miracle of life. We claim the joy of water and the way it sustains and nourishes us. The biblical story speaks of the preciousness of water. They remind us that water is a blessing and source of strength of life. Without it, creation cannot survive. God's love is like a shower of rain in the drought, awakens the sleeping seed within the soul and lures it to blossom. God's love is like a crashing wave on the shore, breaks in on us and folds us, leaving us feeling vital and refreshed.
In the water for their little brother. Yeah, that's wonderful. And you can put it back on the table over there. There we go. And you guys sit there.
Believing that God prays in us, we give thanks for the gift of water. May it be the birthing waters of a new and holy life. Amen.
Amen. Can you come see me? There we go. How are you doing this morning? Yeah? All right. Heath Lockwood, with the touch of this water, the ancient symbol of new life, I baptize you into the love and service of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, source of life, companion, and enlivener. May the presence of this spirit of love in you be nurtured and constantly affirmed by your family, your friends, and by your church community. May the sun and the stars delight and touch your heart with fire, so you may find passion to be creative. May you know God's blessing. Amen. And the choir has a blessing for you this morning. Shall we go have a little go for a little walk?
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Melanie and Martin, I ask you to respond to God's graciousness to Heath by making these promises. Will you provide your child a welcoming home of love and trust? Will you help your child to grow in the understanding of Jesus and appreciate a broad religious faith? Will you encourage Heath to reach out to others with love and compassion? Oh, he's reaching out to you. And each of us knows and needs a supporting care as we share in a journey of faith. To all of you, as family gathers around this font as symbols of belonging and community, let us pledge our care for them. Let us say together. We stand as witnesses to the commitment this family has made this day, and we pledge ourselves to their support and care as they discover the ways that the Spirit unfolds for them.
Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of baptism. May Heath always know that the source of all love lives and comes to unique expression in him. Bless these parents, that they may always show their gratitude for the beautiful gift of life given to them. Bless this faithful community of the faithful people of this church community. May we all live in love and draw encouragement from the faith which connects our loving with the mystery we call God. Amen. And we have a gift presentation from our UCW. Don't yet. So, and this is the shawl from our shawl prayer shawl ministry and baptism certificate. And you can take your seat.
Thanks, everyone.
I lost my place. There we go. So, before we go to our next hymn, we have a special project, one of our Advent conspiracy projects that we're doing that we kind of need your help with. Can you help us with that? Remember last year when we did Food for the North, right? This year we're helping to plant hopefully an acre of corn to help support the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Do you remember a few weeks ago when Ian McCaddy was here and he had the big stalk of corn and he taught you all about corn? Do some of you remember that? Well, we're going to put corn on that stalk that Krista Elizabeth made. So come on over and let's have a look. And we're going to use that time, as we have in the past, to also help to decorate our Christmas tree. So we have ornaments that say Canada Food Grains Bank. So each week, if folks want to make a donation to the Canada Food Grains Bank, you put an envelope in the offering plate, and that will go directly to help support that. So some of you can put corn on the cob. I guess it's on the stalk. Some of you want to put some decorations on the tree. Do you want to help put some decorations on the tree? Can you hang those up? Very good. And each week we're going to focus on another part of our Advent conspiracy. So we also have our great big sock and our food bank. We're also going to decorate our tree with those things. Did you want to put one on? There we go. One, I think there's lots. Did everybody get a chance to put one on? Or put corn on the stalk? Hopefully everybody has a chance to do one or the other. Some folks might get to do both. Got one here. Do you guys want to put one there? Did everybody get a chance? Good. Yeah, some of the taller ones can put them way up there. Excellent. So over the course of Advent, our Christmas tree will get lit. I mean, decorated and lit. We didn't light it this week. There we go. Let's stay on there. So this will help to remind us of the ways that God calls us to care for others in our world, because God is always with us, right? Good. So let's sing. We're going to sing number 48 in more voices. I Can Feel You Near Me, God. And then it'll be time for you folks to go to the Sunday school programming. School programming for you upstairs. And Daniel is going to come again and read our gospel passage this morning.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey.
Thank you.
you to our choir, to Charles and Greg. Good to have you back for the Christmas season. I would ask you to pause with me for a moment of prayer. O God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength. Amen. It is a peaceful day in the neighborhood. Here in week two of the season of Advent, we're preparing for the coming of the child of Bethlehem, whom we have given the name Prince of Peace. That name was first offered in the book of the prophet Isaiah, written about the 7th century before the Common Era. Peace is an interesting word. It's a word we throw around an awful lot. But I wonder how often we really think about what it is when we are saying or using the word peace. World peace is our goal, we often hear said. But what does that look like? How does that come to being? We want peace in our world. Peace is a dream that's not original to the 21st or even the 20th century. It goes back even further than the time of the author of the prophet Isaiah, who proclaimed that a child would come and his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in our hymnody, especially at Advent and Christmas, we sing about peace on earth, goodwill to all. But peace on such a grand scale and a worldwide scale seems, well, in my sometimes pessimistic view of the world, unattainable. Don't get me wrong. I think peace between nations and people is important. Who among us doesn't think peace is important? Put your hand up. You don't think peace is important? Good. We're all in the same boat. Here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, we're participating in a ministry of peace that is God's and ours together. In an ongoing way, in small ways, we work together for the cause of peace. We support initiatives through our Mission and Service Fund. We support Canada Food Grains Bank or our food bank and our Big Sock. All ways in which we try and bring just a little bit of peace to the corner of our world in which we live day by day. And that work that we do here creates bigger peace and greater stories in different places around our world. Those stories that reach beyond Advent into the whole of the year. Not only peace, but hope and life and joy and justice and faith and security. So what is this peace thing that I'm talking about here? We throw around that word so easily and it's so hard to find. When I wanted to find peace, I went to Merriam-Webster's dictionary to get a definition. And I found those, you know, familiar sentiments and ideas expressed. A state of tranquility or peace or period of mutual concord between governments. Security or order within a community. Not exactly inspiring words, but a good definition. But there are other uses of the word peace as well that I found fascinating. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. So peace involves freedom. There was also harmony in personal relations. So peace involves harmony as well. So why go in that direction when we talk about peace? About why talk about harmony and freedom?
when I was searching through the internet for something from Fred Rogers, from Mr. Rogers, in order to keep this theme in our Advent season going, I came upon a commencement address he gave at Dartmoor College. Dartmoor College in 2002, it was his alma mater. Alma mater, which means nourishing mother. So the school that was like a mother that nourished him. And I want to share just about a 2-minute clip from that address. And I think that is the basis for my desire to talk about peace just a little bit differently today. So if, gentlemen, we could have that 2 minutes.
Have you heard my favorite story that came from the Seattle Special Olympics? Well, for the 100-yard dash, there were 9 contestants, all of them so-called physically or mentally disabled. All 9 of them assembled at the starting line, and at the sound of the gun, they took off. But not long afterward, one little boy stumbled and fell and hurt his knee and began to cry. The other 8 children heard him crying. They slowed down, turned around, and ran back to him. Every one of them ran back to him. One little girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed the boy and said, "This'll make it better." And the little boy got up, and he and the rest of the runners linked their arms together and joyfully walked to the finish line. They all finished the race at the same time. And when they did, everyone in that stadium stood up and clapped and whistled and cheered for a long, long time. People who were there are still telling the story with great delight. And you know why. Because deep down, we know that what matters in this life is more than winning for ourselves. What really matters is helping others win too. Even if it means slowing down and changing our course now and then. Anicius Manlius Severinus Boethius, what a name, was the last of the great...
I'm not very good at video editing, so I got a little more than I needed. It was that story that Fred Rogers told that got me thinking about the peaceful action between those young people. The freedom and the harmony that they demonstrated to their fellow human beings that day was an act of peace on a magnitude that, in my belief, is to the order to which Jesus calls us to live as his followers. If we see Jesus as the Prince of Peace described in Isaiah, then we need to act in this many-faceted definition of peace in our lives and in our churches as well. It is that peace that those young people demonstrated that day that needs to inspire us to live more deeply into God's peace. And yet we are given these scripture readings this morning with which to wrestle, because people ancient to us, they also wondered, what does peace look like in our world? So we turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, we're picking up a narrative in that book that has been unfolding for several chapters, and we often describe that as a messianic piece of literature. And while we certainly find Jesus' character and relation to God in this passage, we need to be careful how explicitly we try to say that Isaiah was foretelling Jesus specifically. Isaiah is specifically writing to the people a word of peace, because to him it has seemed that that has disappeared from their hearts. The king at the time is Ahaz, and he's been a terrible king. He's been an awful king. He's aligned himself with Assyria, and Judah has now become a vassal state of the Assyrian Empire. And it's costly to the people, both in terms of money and in the fact that the people of Judah are now forced to see Assyrian gods in the temple. And Isaiah speaks harsh words to Ahaz, and at the same time calls the people to know that God has not abandoned them. And he offers this metaphor that although the mighty cedars of Lebanon have been cut down, out of the stump of Jesse, father of King David, a new leader will come. One who brings such knowledge and connection with God that the truest nature of peace will emerge on the earth. A wonderful dream to think of lions and lambs laying down together, that leopards would start to eat straw. Yeah. Is it hyperbole? Yeah, it's hyperbole. It's metaphor. Is it God's desire that peace would go that deep? Yes. Yes, it is. God's desire that peace would be that deep. And then we turn to Matthew's gospel and John the Baptist. How many of you were here the Sunday where, you know, I yelled at you all and called you a brood of vipers? How many of you were here for that? I'm not going to do that this morning. Same passage. People are coming to John, to the River Jordan. And he's yelling at them. There's a wonderful meme on Facebook as a representation of John the Baptist. And under the caption reads, "Happy Advent, you brood of vipers." It doesn't evoke peace at all. But to be fair to John, John's message was not one that was always well received. Sometimes when we speak truth to power, that message is not received well. And some in the religious establishment of his day were pretty unhappy with his message. And though it's not a hallmark of all of my preaching, repentance is part of who we are as followers of Jesus, as those who love and serve God. And repentance isn't meant to be a nasty thing that beats us down. Repentance, to repent means to turn around, to return. And it's not a command. Our English Bibles, whenever we see the word repent, there's always an exclamation point next to it. In the original text, there's no exclamation points and such. It's a call. It's God, through the Spirit, calling out to us. It's a call from God to us to turn around, to return to the ways that are just, that are life-giving, that are faithful, that are peaceful. In the ways that those young people in Fred Rogers' story demonstrated as they all crossed the line together. During Tuesday Morning Thinkers this week, we looked at John's message about the wheat and the chaff, because that's one of those parts of that passage that drags us down, that God is going to separate the wheat and the chaff. It's often read in support of the idea that some people are wheat, John's followers, And some people are chaff, the religious leadership. However, when we talked about that and explored it and unpacked it a little bit, we realized that wheat and chaff are both part and parcel of the same grain. Therefore, if each and every one of us as individuals are wheat, then parts of us are chaff. And John's call to repentance finds for us to find peace in God, freedom and harmony. Then we need to let go of that chaff. And let it be winnowed, and if it burns off, it burns off. And that leaves the wheat, that kernel, out of which good things grow, that gives life to those around us. It is the wheat whom God has called us to be, and to let go of those things that we don't need. God's desire for peace is that sort of peace. Martin and Melanie, I think as you think about Heath's baptism and remember Vera's and Livia's baptisms, know that together we travel with you. That as people of faith, it's the message of peace that we try to live as much as we can as God's church in this place. And that's the way in which we will do our best to support you and each other as a family of faith, as a community of faith. In another part of that same commencement speech by Fred Rogers, he tells a story of sitting in on a master class for cellists taught by Yo-Yo Ma, whose words to his students were this: "Nobody else can make the sound that you make. Nobody else can make the sound that you make. You are unique. You are wonderfully made by God. Each one of us is special." Fred told those who were listening that day, "Our world hangs like a magnificent jewel in the vastness of space, and every one of us is a part of that jewel, a facet of that jewel. And in the perspective of infinity," he goes on to say, "our differences are infinitesimal. We are intimately related. And may we never pretend that we are not." That was beautiful. What a quote. And I like to think, having grown up with Mr. Rogers, that was just a fancy way of him saying, "And I like you for just you being you." Fred believed, and I believe, that God does too. If we can be who we truly are to ourselves, then we will have the peace of Christ within us, between us, and amongst us all. May it be so in us and in our living. Amen.
Well, we heard it's a peaceful day in the neighborhood. It's also a busy day in this neighborhood. There's a few announcements, and if anyone has some they want to come up and share, please do. Just a reminder, you've got an insert today about the Advent conspiracy, about the things we're telling the children about. And if you want to give them to the Canadian Food Grains Bank, please just earmark Canadian Food Grains Bank on your offering, and we'll put it towards buying an acre. $300 will buy us an acre. And Jen has an announcement.
I just want to say thank you so much on behalf of the youth group. We raised just over $1,000 with our bake sale. So thank you for that. This afternoon, we're going to be going shopping, and with your generosity, we will hopefully be able to get all of the things on the boys' wish list. So thanks again.
The United Kids Connect, the junior youth group for grades 2 through 5, will be having their Christmas party this Friday. And we would like to extend the invitation to any of the kids that are in those grades that aren't already members of the group that would like to come and have fun. So this Friday, 6:30. Thank you.
I have an announcement. You've probably seen the posters around, but tomorrow at the Palladium restaurant, if you have a meal there, 50 cents of the dollar comes to the food banks, and that would be us and the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Last year, the fellow that owns the restaurant, Fernando, he raised $1,200 for us, and the St. Vincent de Paul Society got $1,200. So that money goes into our account, and we use it this year. We used it for gift cards for all of the people that come, and we use it to buy emergency food when we're down, when we're low. So I would encourage you to go to the Palladium tomorrow, have a meal, and bear in mind that the money you're spending, half of it's going to a good cause. So put it on your schedule, okay? Thanks.
Hello, all. I thought I'd tell a joke, but I decided against it, so I'll just give an announcement. So next Sunday on the 15th is the choir's annual Christmas concert. It should be quite good. We've been working very diligently since September to prepare, 1 hour of music. So several hours of rehearsal for 1 hour of music doesn't quite work for me, but oh well, that's just the nature of the beast. So cancel your trips to Disney Town or whatever. You can always view those photos on Instagrams or Snap Photos. And come view us singing and me playing and Greg flapping his arms around, and it should be good. Oh, and I think Michael's going to read and Krista's going to read something as well. So should be good. Thank you.
Just a reminder, too, we have Advent letters for the whole congregation. Some of you picked them up last week. There's still lots. There's just right outside the door on the bench. There's some. But if you think you might be seeing someone or you want an excuse to go see someone, go through and see if there's some letters that you could help deliver as well. Also, to continue with our kindness challenge, some of you picked up a sheet that gave you a choice, but each day be looking on social media. There's a new challenge to be kind throughout the season of Advent. And lots happening on Tuesday. You have options. Ladies, you can come to Women, Wine, and Worship at 6 p.m. at Pilot's Pub for dinner. It's just a social time as they celebrate their Christmas gathering. But also on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., if you're invited, if you'd like to come see the new movie with Tom Hanks about Mr. Rogers, we're going to watch it at Dartmouth Crossing Cinemas there. At 7 p.m. it starts, so you'll need to be there earlier to buy your ticket and to get a good seat and whatever munchies you'd like. Wednesday is also a full day. Wednesday we have the men's luncheon at noon at Fong's, and at 2 p.m. Is the service at Parkland as well. Also, we got just to round out Wednesday, it's a unified board, and they're going to meet a little earlier than usual at 6:30 for a social time ahead. Also, I'm hoping to get to know who our college and career young adults are. And I was thinking of our, especially the college and university ones are in exams right now. I have just a little something to pass on to them from behalf of the congregation. So if you have a college, career age, young adult in your family. See me, I have something to pass on for them just to be blessed at this busy time of year. And finally, as you go out today, I'm wanting to know all your names very, very badly, but they're not there, or I like to call people Heather whose names are Catherine, and it's not been helpful. So if you could just on the way out tell me your name, that would be really helpful as well. Well, in this Advent season, what can we do to signal our readiness for Christ to come in this very place? Well, we can start with a total commitment of our resources and our lives to God's cause of peace in the world. When we give our financial gifts to God's ministry through this church, the benefit travels widely, but nowhere is the impact greater than in our own hearts. So I invite you at this time to give your offering, not just as an opportunity to give your tithes an offering, but to give your very self to God this season. Our tithes and offerings will be received. Pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the wake-up call, reminding us to be ready. Thank you for not giving up on your vision of peace. Thank you for the opportunity to gather each week in your house, that we might be encourage one another to stay on your path. And thank you for the opportunity to give these gifts for your ministry, that together we might help make the world a better place, ready to receive the Prince of Peace, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us find peace by coming before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of peace, we thank you for the beautiful vision of shalom that you gave your prophet Isaiah in ancient times and continues to inspire us today. A vision that foresees the stump and the branch of Jesse ushering in perfect justice and righteousness, removing the sinful, aggressive nature in all creation, abolishing war and violence. A time when all will come to your holy mountain and the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. God of peace, in a world of greed, injustice, and war, defend the cause of the poor, deliver the needy, crush all oppression, and may your glory fill the whole earth. Bestow your grace on our leaders, our prime minister and member of a parliament, our premier and provincial leaders, our counselor and mayor, and the government of every nation, that they may be instruments of your peace and justice in the world. God of peace, you deeply desire harmony and goodwill between all people. We ask for your peace to be in all homes and families. Holy Spirit, be at work that domestic violence would not exist. May homes be places that are safe, loving, full of nurture and care. Heal all. Heal those who are full of hurt and anger, that their pain may not inflict pain on others or fuel cycles of abuse. Let your peace reign in each heart and home. God of peace, we ask that your care and comfort would be with those who grieve. We especially ask that you would be with the Nightingale family. May Bev know your love upholding her and your peace in the midst of this time of great loss. Be with us as a congregation as we are grieving the passing of Maurice, who was a good friend, a faithful example, and a brother in Christ. God of peace, be with our college and university students who are in the midst of exams and final things. Give them peace amidst times of stress, and may they know that you are with them in the midst of this busy season. God of peace, where there is upset, disappointment, challenges, and trials in our own lives and families, come with your faithful reassurance. Touch our lives with your healing and wholeness. Grant us perseverance to keep on keeping on. Grant us wisdom in how to move forward. Give us faith in your ability to see us through. Open the doors that we need open in this season and enable us to step through them, trusting always in you. God of peace, as John the Baptizer was a voice of one crying out in the wilderness to prepare the people for the way of the Lord, may we too speak out for change and transformation in our world. May our lives bear the fruit of repentance. Grant us the courage to be faithful in the face of adversity and unbelief. With your Holy Spirit's power working in us, may we live out our baptismal covenant. We ask all this in Jesus' name, the one who taught us to pray as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. But let us stand and sing once again. Number 9, People Look East. Voices United.
Thank you.
us join in a responsive blessing. Find your peace in Christ, that your joy may be complete.
We will share in the Spirit. We will find God's future in peace.
Practice a ministry of humility and compassion, for God is at work empowering you.
We will welcome Christ into our hearts. We will live lives worthy of the gospel. We will go forth in hope and in peace.
And our Christmas carol, it came upon the midnight clear, verses 1 and 4.